down to the left child. We will survive in this country wilderness. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Jungleist, specialist, predatory, and survivalist. Spitting heaven's fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon, and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you'll always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for an Awakening Media is there. Always full of the latest podcast of the various programs on Time for an Awakening. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, or even share with your friends. Also, check out the Time for Awakening Marketplace in our partnership with the B.B. Toomey African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more being taught by professors in both the continent and in the diaspora. So check it out and make it one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're scheduled to have two special guests join us. One has been with us before, and I consider him part of the Time for an Awakening family. Activist and organizer, New Orleans talk show host and radio host, Baba W.C. Johnson, Baba Wes Johnson, will be with us. And activist organizer, Anderson Washington, will be with us to talk about issues going on centering around the NAACP in Louisiana. An advocacy group. a little tongue-tied there. It's supposed to be representing our people. Let's hear from some of the activists down there and some of our elders talking about what's going on down there in relation to the NAACP and our communities. And we'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies.
Thank you.
Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street, Brother Richard. Is with us, Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's raining here in Philadelphia, if others don't know. So it's one of them slow walking days. But other than that, I'm doing fine. I'm looking to hear from Baba West. I haven't heard from him in a while. So it's, I really appreciate his experience, knowledge, and insight. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we might get a little update from Brother Jihad about the gathering that they had over Horton Reed on Saturday. I know that Dennis Muhammad will be in town for at least 30 days because they're supposed to do the training, the CPR classes for the men that want to get involved. I think Jihad was distributing the whistles, flashlights, and things like that. So I just wanted to see how things went, if any of the listening audience was able to attend, because I wasn't able to get there.
Me neither.
I know that Joe, that our caller from Germantown, said that that he would try to make it over there. Either way, I'll get an update from Jihad, and if he's listening tonight, he'll probably call in.
Great.
You know, I talked with Bobby West a couple of weeks ago, and he sent me a press release of some things going on down there with the NAACP. It's kind of ironic that in different areas of the country where these chapters are functioning, that there's issues with them, issues from conscious individuals. But some of our people that don't really know what's going on, they just, you know, they just go along with the go along. Sometimes I can see that scripture verse that I always quote at the beginning of the program about our people being destroyed for the lack of knowledge is very true when it comes to our people. And it applies directly to our people because a lot of times we don't have the proper information. We don't have any information. And we don't know things going on centered around these issues. And sometimes when we find out, we don't really do anything about it or feel as though our hands are tied. Your hands are only tied when you don't do anything. We need to become active around any of these issues that's focusing in on our community because it's really a loaded gun pointed at our children. It might not necessarily be pointed at people over 40 or people over 30, it's really pointed at our children. And if we want to change the dynamic for them, we have to get involved now.
True that.
Let's bring in activist, organizer, radio and talk show host down there in Louisiana and in New Orleans, there, Lafayette, all those areas down there. The program is heard. Bobby West Johnson is with us. And we also are expecting a Brother Anderson Washington to join us also. Let's get Bobby West here. Brother West, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, and thank you, my brothers, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, for having me on. And it's always good when you get with family.
Yes, sir. It's good to hear you, Bobby West.
Good to be heard.
Bobby West, do you know whether Mr. Washington will be joining us?
I just talked with him about 30 minutes ago, and he was supposed to be calling. I made sure he had the number.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look for his call because on the board here, I can see who's calling, especially from that area. Bobby West, it's a lot of things going on nationally around our people. In your local area, I received a press release on some things going on centering around the NAACP down there. I wanted your perspective as a longtime activist in the Louisiana area, both in New Orleans and other neighboring towns and parishes, to talk about what's going on in reference to the NAACP, which has an historic legacy of being an advocacy group for African Americans. Talk about some of the things going on. I want to allude to some of the press release, if you're familiar with it. I know Brother Anderson is really familiar with it, and he has a historical perspective that I'd like to tie into once he comes on. But tell us some of the things going on down there presently.
I'd be happy to. It's been many years that the local branch here has been quite dysfunctional. And when I say dysfunctional, I mean it's been basically a select group inside the organization that have benefited and profited off of the NAACP. I was working with my organization, Community United for Change, about 10 years ago when I started getting an influx of NAACP members joining my organization and asking me to assist them in trying to turn the NAACP around. Finally, in 2015, when a new president was elected, Judge Morris Reed, that he asked if I would come on board and assist him in trying to straighten out some of the problems. So I joined the NAACP at that point and became extremely active. I found that because Morris Reed was trying to fix the organization so that it would become functional for the people here in New Orleans, he was met with a lot of disdain as well as disorder. It's unfortunate that those who personally profit from the NAACP have a way of trying to force people out or frustrating them to the point of just not wanting to be bothered. And that has been the problem. Actually, it's not just here in New Orleans, but it's throughout the country. And why I say is throughout the country is basically because there is a constitution which contains the bylaws of the NAACP, which lays out exactly what the NAACP is supposed to be about, how it is supposed to function, and if problems arise, the solutions, the avenues that you are to utilize in order to straighten the problems out. Well, we followed the bylaws more than once. We had sent in the Article 10 complaints to National, only to be ignored. And we sent them again, and we sent them again. And after they realized we were going to continue this, then they started sending out representatives from the region and then representatives from National trying to frustrate us in our endeavors. Now, in, I think it was 2017, there was a group of us in the organization who decided that we had to try to fight outside of the organization because we were getting no responses from National, even though National has a set of bylaws that they refuse to follow. It's interesting that the NAACP in their bylaws will have has a section that states if you sue the NAACP, they will take your membership away. Or at least that's what I had been told. People were afraid to do anything because they were afraid of losing their membership. When I went in and found the articles that they were talking about, I found that the articles state that you could sue them if you had exhausted all of your remedies within the organization. But most people aren't aware of that. So since we had exhausted all of them, I went ahead and filed suit in federal court against the National NAACP to get relief from the branch of the NAACP. And it was interesting because some of the very people that have been profiting from the NAACP here locally end up being the attorneys that was defending the NAACP here, which actually was not an ethical thing for them to do, but they did it. But anyways, we found out that at that time it was the current secretary in 2015 was soliciting memberships, not turning the memberships into national, having the people send their monies to a private post office box that this person owned, and to put the money orders in this person's name. And when we got the canceled checks back, that's when we went to national to get them to at least remove this woman from the office of secretary. Come to find out, national refused to do it. They refused to entertain our complaint because it states they have X amount of days in order to respond. They have X amount of time to have an investigation, and they have time prescriptions that they just ignore. So it's unfortunate that we have poor people, and I'll say again, we have poor people who are taking these memberships out, whether they're yearly memberships at $30 a year or lifetime memberships, which I believe now runs about $700. And on top of which, because of the membership body, the national organization is able to solicit funds from businesses and other institutions and groups for their work. And we have no idea how much money is collected by the NAACP each year, because that is not disseminated to the membership. So they are basically collecting money, spending money, and we have no idea how this money is being utilized.
Now, when you say, when you use the term profiting, you're talking about in that vein as far as the money's collected, or is it any thing going on, special favors, businesses that are donating to the end? Is it any other areas besides the possible misappropriation of funds dealing with memberships?
All of the above.
Okay.
Besides the memberships being misdirected, we also have people who are in official positions within the NAACP, such as attorneys, the likes of which we had one for over 10 years up until 2015, that would receive complaints from individuals about actions that was happening on the job. And instead of that being turned over to a committee on the NAACP, this person who was the president and also an attorney would convert that complaint into a client and then go after the perpetrator. And whatever settlement was determined, they receive their fee for being able to represent that person. On top of which, they also would cut deals that many times cut out the individual that would allow this person to build a political dynasty for himself as well. So there are many gratuities that are available being a participant with the NAACP.
Where's the footprint of the advocacy for black folks down there? Everybody knows nationally about the situation surrounding the murder of Alton Sterling, and the the potential cover-up by the police department and what would happen centering around his death, the church burnings that was going on down there that a sheriff's deputy's son or something like that was supposed to have been involved in. Are they involved in those type of things? What is going on around the activity to help the black community? Is it nil, or they doing lip service, or is it really any work being done around trying to help the community?
No, not from where I'm able to see. I know that we're frustrated here in New Orleans because we have certain complaints about things that are happening outside of the organization to either members or potential members or just people who are people of color that are having their rights deferred or denied. We get very little assistance on that. And to bring that out just a little more, we had a state president of the state conference here in Louisiana who is located in Baton Rouge, who happens to be both a preacher and an attorney, received $2 million from Governor Forster at the time to be quiet about an area we know as Cancer Alley.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So many environmentalists were demonstrating about and trying to get it closed down. The governor was able to send $2 million in his direction personally, and the NAACP's involvement was no more, and we haven't heard anything since then from the NAACP concerning Cancer Alley.
I want to play a clip of Brother West, and probably maybe in the second half hour, because I want you to, and it deals directly with what you're talking about money being exchanged. It seems as though, now, before I mention this, what is your assessment of the complaints lodged to National and they're not being addressed, or your grievances being blocked? What do you gather from that?
Personally, my understanding is everybody is on the payroll. Everybody's receiving a cut under the table, so they cannot afford to come into a local chapter and call someone out for not doing their job or not doing something legally. Because if they start looking at the local areas, eventually it's going to go up the ladder to National. I believe personally that's why we get nothing from National, because they do not want to open up a hornet's nest. The things that go on locally are only mirroring what's going on nationally.
Okay. Okay. The and we've had another person that's been on our program a number of times. Activists out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, Reverend Edward Pinckney, that quit the NAACP and did a campaign to get people to burn their cards. He was the president of the chapter up there in Michigan, either in Benton Harbor or the state of Michigan. And when gentrification was happening rapidly in Benton Harbor around this Whirlpool company, and he was involved in the fight, come to find out that Whirlpool was one of the biggest donors to the NAACP, and they tried everything to stop him, block him. He's been to jail twice, but he's still fighting. But he's not a member of the NAACP anymore. it's a lot of things going on that's very strange, centering it around that organization. Myself and Brother Richard was talking last week. They had a NAACP dinner up here in Philadelphia last weekend. They were bringing in Donna Brazil. She was their keynote speaker to receive an award. And it happened to be at the Jewish Museum here in Philadelphia. Now, it's black venues here in the city that are capable of hosting that event. The museum that Brother Richard is at is only maybe two blocks away from that Jewish museum. It wasn't at the African American Museum. It wasn't at another venue here in Philadelphia, 3801. It's venues that could have hosted that event. They took it to the Jewish Museum. And it's been pressure by Jewish groups, Jewish advocacy groups, on some local hosts here in the city of Philadelphia on a terrestrial station when comments were made about what was going on in Palestine and their remarks in reference to one of the temple professors here. When one of the talk show hosts kind of backed the temple professor, he was removed from the radio program. So it's a lot of things going on here that makes conscious black people kind of sit up and take notice. When that dinner was held down there at the Jewish Museum, when you talk about money being exchanged, it's clear that some money was exchanged. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there in reference to what you're saying, but I do want to play this clip in reference to some of the things that you're saying, because I think it all ties in. But Brother Richard, jump in here. I know you got some comments for Brother West.
No, I just wanted, you know, one thing that I'm noticing, Baba West, is that it seems that it's a professional class that's a part of the heavily legal representation within the local and state NAACP body. Is that for in that area, or is that true, or am I over emphasizing the legal representation that is that our members and whole office?
Yeah, not just legal though, but quite a few of the clergy. You find the attorneys and the clergy class, I mean, overwhelmingly are lopsided in as far as officers and in the control positions of the branches. And I think if we look at national, you will find very similar with the same situation there as well. It is that going back to that talented tent that controls the organization, and it keeps out the working class from decision making and from areas that would allow them to become knowledgeable about the inner workings of the NAACP. It's unfortunate because I've said many, many times, activists throughout this country would be a lot further ahead if we had the so-called old line traditional black organizations working collectively with us, because they are able to get into areas that we have not been able to penetrate. But the reason they get in those areas is because they're being controlled by the very folks that I'm talking about penetrate. Right. You talked about the dinner being held. Well, that wasn't a mistake. That wasn't a fluke. These are people that are controlling the organization, so they have to keep them closely under the thumb to make sure that nothing gets away from them. So we are looking at a control factor across this country and even across this world that makes sure that only the chosen few black folks people are the ones that get to cross the doorstep.
And how does saying all that's true. And as we look at the, because it seems you also brought up the local political environment, I'll get to the business, in relationship to the issues that the NAACP is supposed to address locally in relationship to Louisiana, what issues are not being addressed that they, at least for the charter, you know, the purposes, they could be addressed that is specifically, you know, Louisiana or that chapter's, in that chapter's purview as far as politically and regionally specific to that area?
None of the missions that they state in the bylaws and constitution are being met here in New Orleans and in Louisiana. And I don't believe they're being met anywhere else in the country, but I have not had an opportunity to research and study the national. But I can tell you here locally, statewide and citywide, that there is nothing that the NAACP is doing to preserve our rights or to reestablish rights that we found during the 60s, 70s, and 80s that now have been dissipated and lost.
And does the community in general in Louisiana, are they like aware but just apathetic or not aware at all as far as how the money exchange that's going on by officers of that local NAACP?
To know about the money exchange, you would have to be on the inside in the workings of the organization. And believe me, it's always the talented tent, the ministers, the politicians, the lawyers that fill up those positions. Now, we have been fighting recently for the last 3.5 years with a new president that's come in. And I mean, she was just so blatant with her theft until she keeps no books. She had a checking account that she closed, opened up a new checking account in another name similar to the NAACP. That the NAACP has no right to. And we have fought for 3.5 years, and finally, the national smacked her on her wrist by removing her for 1 year. Normally, if you get removed out of the office of presidency, it's usually for a 5-year minimum period of time. But they did it only for 1 year for her.
So. And with that coming to light, the other structural outlet, and I know you do it through your communication outlet. Here is specifically something that the national done. Was there any local communication through the local press, especially the white or black press that is in Louisiana, kind of expanding on that?
Even though the bylaws state that all these types of decisions made by the national are to be published and broadcast, there was no press release sent out. There was nothing sent to the media. We have sent, and I say we, there's a group within the NAACP that's been working to bring about change. We send out press releases, and they quickly, those that are the targets of them and those that run interference for them, quickly call up the institutions to tell them that's not correct. Even though we have documentation from National stating that this person was removed from office, they come back and they say, well, that wasn't correct. She's been reinstated. You know, and that's one of the problems that we have, because we're constantly putting the message out, and they're constantly coming behind us trying to say that it's not correct. And because of their relationships politically and in the community, a lot of times whatever they say goes. And those of us out here fighting with the documentation, they try to say, well, you know, they're just a group of troublemakers.
You know, Elliot, the reason why I want to see how systemic this relationship is with those who are, you know, and Robert West, you say that talented 10th, but those who are really the, some people call gatekeepers, or, you know, what they call neo-colonial operatives within our community. It's just, you know, here, as you say, you got documentation, and it's so systemic as far as the relationship that they get paid, they are able to block information on and on and on. You know, it's just mind blowing.
Well,
but you also have the problems with people, institutions, white institutions, some reason are afraid of national NAACP because they're afraid that they'll call the members out and, I guess, create some direct action against them. So a lot of times they will just, you know, just let it die a natural death by not doing anything at all. And it's unfortunate because the courts are like that. We went to the state attorney general here last year with complaints. We told them how they could get the evidence that they needed. They had the right to subpoena records from the bank, and they could have built the case from that, and they wouldn't even issue a subpoena. So, you know, it gets to be just ridiculous how powerless poor people and black people really are in this country.
Bobby West, you a question, because the Contentious Council of Black Elders, are you a member of that organization?
Now, if this is the one you're talking about that initially came out of Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I am.
I received a press release from the president of the organization, and it's about the congressman that's from Louisiana. He was a former sheriff in St. Landry's Parish. I'm more than sure he's a Republican. In fact, he is a Republican. He's a Trump supporter. Calls himself the Cajun John Wayne. And from what I see on social media, he's always taking pictures with what looks like white supremacist organizations. I mean, you know better than me. But let me play a clip, because he was the keynote speaker at the NAACP event down there in September, late September, the 29th.
That was the state conference convention.
Okay.
They have annual convention.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
now, he was brought in by the NAACP.
Yes, he was.
Let me play this clip here, and it was a clip from Roland Martin's program in reference to this guy. I want to play it for our listening audience so they can see, get an idea of what's going on down there with that branch of NAACP, and it's no different anywhere else. But let me play this clip if I can kind of tee it up here. Looks like I'm having a little difficulty here getting this up. Let's move forward. I'll get it up. We'll take a break, and I'll get it up. Because I wanted your opinion on this in reference to our conversation. But before we...
Well, I'll say this.
Go ahead.
What that demonstrates is the relationship the NAACP has with our arch enemies. And how can we progress? How can we get things done if we're in bed with them? So, I mean, when I heard about it, it flipped me out. I said, now, this goes to show us who are members that we don't really matter. All they want is our money. And once we make the contract and consummate the contract with the payment, that's the only good that we have for them. So, I mean, it's unreal.
And I really wanted to hear from Brother Anderson, Brother Washington, in reference to, because from what you describe, him being a long time member of that organization since the 40s, when their lives were in jeopardy getting involved in that organization, and you had other organizations around like the Deacons of Defense and things of that nature, he would really add a historical perspective to some of the things going on. But maybe he'll call in the second hour. I want to get this clip up, but what we'll do now, we'll take a brief break. When we come back, hopefully I'll have this thing straightened out, and I can play this and get your assessment of this, and then I'm going to spin off on some of the things that stated in the press release and reference to the organization, Bob West, and get your insight on some of the things, the mission statements and things of that nature, centering around the organization of contentious Council of Black Elders down there in Louisiana, because I think it's important for our listening audience to hear it. But we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion with activist and organizer in New Orleans talk show and radio host Baba W.C. Johnson is with us in conversation this evening. And you can get involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
For 12 years, I and others like me have held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. Amen. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. And so the collision course is set.
The desegregation decisions and other type of legislation and Supreme Court decisions depends upon changing the white man's mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves.
In what way?
Well, so he teaches us the importance of moral reformation, a knowledge of self. And for instance, the average so-called Negro, he doesn't think that he can go into business and provide jobs for himself. And because of this, he thinks that he can only get a job from the white man, or he can only get clothes from the white man, or he can only get food from the white man. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are taught that the same thing that the white man has done for himself and his kind, if our people could be if we could be cured of our slave mentality that was indoctrinated into us during slavery, we would realize that just as the white man can do these things for himself and his kind, we can get together in unity and harmony and do the same thing for ourselves and our kind.
I'm not wondering at all about them. I'm concerned with the suffering and the pain of the masses of black people. No one wants to pay reparations. The Jews received over $100 billion in reparations and gets $4 billion annually. A Holocaust museum was set up for them on this soil for over $200 million, and they get $21 million annually just for operating expenses. But the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Jews, the Arabs, white people in general, no one wants to pay reparations to these, the sons and daughters of Africa. So I speak to them. I don't speak to the family of those two Jews. There are too many of us for me to speak to them.
And one of the reasons why I'm always happy to come to this organization, because you're the only one, you're the only black organization, again, that understands to put race first. Race first. Race first. And I've had some white folks to tell me that I was a flaming militant, a radical, or whatever all of these names were that they called me. And I said that I am very pleased that you called me a nationalist, because you could have said that I was a member of the NAACP or the Urban League. So I said, I'm very pleased of the names that you have given. But I said that because we put race first, something is wrong with us. But everybody else puts their own first because God bless the child who has his own. And so I think that race first is very important. And though we meet in a different venue, we're not at the slave theater, we're not at the church, we're now at the Masonic Temple, it really does not matter where we are physically. It matters where we are in our minds. And wherever we meet, as long as we know that we're Africans and as long as we know that we're black people living here in America, we know exactly who we are. You notice you can put an Uncle Tom in any venue in the White House, you can even put him in his, he's going to still be a Tom. You can put them anywhere you want. Well, it's the same thing with us who are strong people. Wherever we are, we're going to be the people that we need to be.
Encourage, let me just say this before our time winds up. And that is, I want the people in the audience to go back and look at the video clip from Roots. It's entitled something like Breaking Kunta Kinte. That scene opens with Lorne Greene sitting in, who's the plantation master, sitting in his office, and then Fiddler comes in and says, we don't want to be too hard on the runaway. Kunta Kinte has just run away and been caught. And so the time comes for him to get his lashing. And if you look at this scene, it's about 9 minutes, and study the scene. Study the role of everybody or bodies that are in this particular clip. And you will find that there is an equivalent role in the political life of our country today, whether it's on the national level or on the local level. There's the black man who actually does the whipping of Kunta Kinte. There's the white man who does the whipping. There's the black man who intervenes with the boss man and tries to save the life of Kunta Kinte. There's Kunta himself, who eventually is forced to admit that his name is Toby. And there's dozens of bystanders, black, who are watching. This is a very powerful scene. And it's an analogy of exactly what is happening in our community today. Let's give those characters names in our community and call them what they are and then take care of business about that.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:04 here in the city of Philadelphia. We're joined in conversation this evening with activist and organizer, New Orleans talk show host and radio host, Barbara W.C. Johnson is with us this evening. And I think who's joined us also is activist and organizer, Mr. Anderson Washington is with us on the line. Brother West.
Yes, I'm here.
I think Elder Anderson is with us also.
Yes, I think so.
Let me bring him up. Is this Elder Anderson Washington?
Yes. I'm here.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thanks, kind son. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to have you on Time for an Awakening with myself and Brother Richard.
How you doing, Lamont?
Hey, pardon?
I said, how you doing?
Fine, I'm doing okay. And great. You?
Great, great.
You know, I was going to play this clip, and I'm going to do this, but let me first acknowledge your work, Elder Anderson. You've been a member of the NAACP since you returned home from the war in the 40s, from what I understand.
Right.
And when you joined that organization in Louisiana, that was almost like signing a death warrant. Your life was in jeopardy being involved in that organization.
That's correct.
You came through a lot. Your work, activist work down in that area, spans decades. You came through the period of the Deacons of Defense. I don't know. You might have been a member.
I wasn't a member, but during that period, yes.
Talk about that time before we kind of spin off to what's going on now, Elder Washington.
Well,
talk about that period.
With the NAACP, there's certain, I can't get this in here. But anyway, I was a plaintiff to desegregate the municipal auditorium, successfully desegregate the municipal auditorium here in the city. That's one thing. And we had to, the city brought up a law from 1922 to publish, so each organization must register with the state and the membership. So the members of the NAACP, they didn't want to be in that position. So the NAACP changed the name, same people, but changed the name to the New Orleans Improvement League. And we operated from there.
They did that because they felt their life was going to be in jeopardy as far as identifying
whatever
themselves?
Whatever, jobs or whatever.
Okay.
Just to avoid it, yes. Those who didn't feel vulnerable would join the New Orleans Improvement League.
Elder Washington, tell us about the rise of the Deacons for Defense.
I'm not up with that, sir.
I'm just curious. Brother West, I'm going to play this clip in reference to what happened at the awards dinner and who was speaking, who was deemed the keynote speaker, and I wanted your input on this.
What awards dinner is this?
I think it was the awards dinner or the NAACP dinner. Clear that up for me, Brother West, again.
Yeah, this was at the state convention. I think it was held last month, where
And I want to play this for our listening audience, because this guy was the keynote speaker that considers himself the Cajun John Wayne. I had a little difficulty here getting this thing queued up. And looks like it's happening again.
How much time do we
have? Yeah, but don't worry
about
it.
While you're queuing that up, let me, for the audience's benefit, let me say that I've been working with Brother Washington for quite a while now. I've been blessed to have had the opportunity to be exposed to the knowledge that he has in his wisdom. This gentleman that's talking here just celebrated this past June his 99th birthday. And he's still driving, and he's still attending meetings, and he is still active in trying to remedy the local branch of the NAACP so that we can get on with our work as far as addressing the problems that people have. But many people are not aware that several years ago, Brother Andy developed a program, political program, that the NAACP initially passed in 2012 to implement, but has refused to implement it because of the possible damage that they believe it would do to the Democratic Party. Now, the Andy Plan, as it's called, is a plan that organizes the black community to determine what candidates are going to be proffered for elections for various offices. And through this, by us determining our own candidates and then going out and electing our own candidates, these candidates are only really concerned with the people that elected them, so we don't have to worry about the sellout syndrome. This is one of the reasons why the NAACP refuses to work to implement this particular plan, because it gives the power, the electoral power, back to the people, which they believe will allow the Democratic Party to lose the control that they have and have had over the elections and the electoral progress of not only our city and state, but eventually the country.
So are you saying Bobby West, Elder?
May I interrupt, please, before we run out of time? Let me see if I can follow up with Brother W.C. Okay, this is – let me give my email address out, too, if anybody wants to check with me. The email address is aw233@hotmail.com. Repeat, aw2333@hotmail.com. Now, the subject we're going into is the original selections of candidates. Currently, as we go into the voting booths, we see the names of candidates that have already been selected, which means the financial supporters have selected all of them. Therefore, it could be 100% voter turnout and absolutely nothing would change. Solution, voter control. In each district, the voters shall organize, seek and maintain a majority vote, create a constitution, elect block, precinct, ward, and district captains, draft platforms, seek and elect candidates that agree with the platforms. The voters shall pay all registration fees, costs, office space, and stationery. In New Orleans, it's called the Select the Elect Movement. It was adopted January 11, 2012 by the New Orleans branch NAACP. And for 7 years, New Orleans branch NAACP has gone to extremes to block the select to elect movement. I think that covers most everything. Any questions?
It
sounds like you're talking about some type of independent black party there, Mr. Washington.
Beg pardon?
It sounds like you're talking about an independent black party.
No, forget about parties, my brother.
Okay.
This is the people, the voters.
All right.
Each district, the people in the district. All right. And look, there's nothing new about this.
Okay.
This is the way it was done before telephones.
Ah.
Okay.
All right. Think about it. Think about it.
Now, what's it?
It's supposed to be of the people, for the people, by the people. Okay?
So during the 50s, and primarily 50s and 60s, was this process used in the NAACP?
No,
NAACP has been blocked it ever since. They go to extremes. I think I mentioned that, huh?
Right.
They go to extremes to block it. All presidents, the current acting president, the president that would be president has been relieved of her duties for putting money in wherever, not to bring it to collecting money and not reporting it to the organization. This New Orleans branch.
And so are you saying that the NAACP locals would be assisting in the select to elect movement by utilizing the local brand as the organizing mechanism?
Yeah. Hmm.
We don't have enough people to advocate for the movement. The NAACP, it's not a committee thing. It's for a movement by the branch, and they refuse to move. And every other little movement that may be out there to get wind of it, they come around to block it. That's the extreme efforts to block it.
And if something you said earlier, Barbara West, if there was a large infusion of membership, and you said working class members from the area that became members, could they be able to implement this, or would it take the leadership to endorse it in order for the select to actually operate?
Let me try to answer that. They find any reason to have chaos in the meeting.
Mm.
If anything is going in the direction you just requested or mentioned, chaos. And you have people that will be of some interest and concern, they even don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of that answer also is, yes, it doesn't have to be the NAACP. Anyone that's willing to do the work can utilize the plan and put the plan into practice, and it would eventually get to a point where it could or would be a political movement. You could probably call it a party,
okay,
but it would be a power structure that would give the voiceless a voice in electoral politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason the NAACP does everything they can to suppress this is because the NAACP is tied hook, line, and sinker to the Democratic Party. They would rather take crumbs off of the table then be the ones that would bake the pie where the crumbs would fall from. That's a sad irony about our people, but the truth of the matter is most blacks have lost all sense of productivity, and they definitely lost all sense of struggle. But this is how the electoral process could be utilized to change and bring about change politically. Mm-hmm. No questions about it.
Brother West, you mentioned that the NAACP is tied at the hip to the Democratic Party, and I totally agree. They take their marching orders from Democratic Party. But there's something strange here with this, and I finally got this clip. I want to play this clip about the keynote speaker and him talking with...
No, just before that, just let me mention, this what Brother WC just mentioned, it's from the national and state included.
Yes.
Didn't want to miss that.
Yes.
Okay,
now, I'm going to play this. Now, this is Clay Higgins, the Cajun John Wayne, which is the congressman down there, talking with, in Congress, talking with Candace Owens for our listening audience. Let me play this clip.
I'll be speaking at the NAACP Annual State Convention in Louisiana 1 week from tomorrow. Could be argued that I'm a quite unlikely keynote speaker at that gathering. But I shall deliver a candid and unscripted message from my heart and from bended knee as an American that recognizes that our nation has suffered a failure of spirit, that our nation is on a journey. I would ask you, madam, in my remaining time, what message would you hope to hear me deliver to my brothers and sisters in Louisiana 1 week from tomorrow? An address which I believe should be reflective of our effort as a nation to bridge the divides that falsely separate us, to embrace the fact that we're created in God's own image. What message would you have me share, good lady? And I shall listen.
That's a beautiful question. I would say if I was in that audience, what I would want to hear is just a message of hope. I think that what's been taken away from Black America is our sense of pride. We've allowed rhetoric and policies to tether us to the government. And I love that you opened your statement talking about God and the family, because those are the things that we used to value first and foremost in the Black American community. And as government grew in the 1960s, all of that was pretty much taken away from us. I would remind them to consider who...
I'm done. How about this, Congressman Keller? When you go before the NAACP, I would love for you to explain to them in Louisiana why is it that your party supports voter suppression. I would love for you to explain to the NAACP why the Trump administration is rolling back civil rights in various departments in this nation. I would love for you to explain why the Republican Party chooses to be the prostitute of the NRA and not do anything about gun control. I would love for you to speak to the issue of economics and why is it that the Republican Party and Donald Trump is trying to get rid of the National Minority Supply Development Council, which has been around for 50 years, which is the only federal agency that deals with how to grow businesses among minorities.
Now, I'll stop it there. Brother West, you mentioned how the NAACP is tied at the hip to the Democratic Party, which I fully agree. But there's something strange going on in Louisiana, because they seem to be tied to the Republican Party or maybe taking money, because they're bringing this guy in front of the organization to give a message sent by him to Candace Owens. What's going on? What's the matter with those Negroes?
Well, let me tell you this. We currently have a gubernatorial race going on here. For the last 4 years, we had supposedly a Democrat by the name of John Bell Edwards, who has been the governor of Louisiana. John Bell Edwards has administered his duties in the state of Louisiana the way any red-blooded U.S. American Republican would do under any circumstances. We have two people running in the runoff now. One is a Democrat and one is a Republican, but the truth of the matter is we have two Republicans running. But no one is willing to call it out and call a spade a spade. What is wrong with people in Louisiana is the same thing that's wrong with people throughout this country. We are all hooked on the same drug that they continually give us. If you just hope, if you will continue to pray, if you will continue to reach out, somehow, some way, something is going to favor you because you just have to believe. And we have been doing that. We've been on this same thing for the last 600 years at least. And even though we take one step forward, we end up taking two, sometimes three steps backwards. Black people have got to get into their mind that there is no security in embracing white folks or white folks' culture. Once we get that in our heads, we'll be able to move forward. But until then, we're going to continue to be slaves, and we're going to continue to act like slaves and receive the benefits that all slaves receive.
And, you know, and I agree.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly.
We're so divided in so many ways. So to me, it's real simple. The people in each district draft their own platform, seek and select their own candidates. And the cost is what? Stationary office space? Democrat, Republicans, whatever. That's division. Just forget about all of that. And come to your own, your district. Do your own thing. Whatever way you choose. I don't see any other way. Thank you. Or is there another way?
Well, you know what? Let me read. I want to read this. Give me a minute. I want to read two paragraphs from from the organization that I think both of you men are members of, the Conscientious Council of Black Elders. And Richard, when I read this, it really touched me because we need more of these type of think tanks all around the country of some of our elders that realize what's going on and have solutions to some of these problems to come together and come up with some of these things. Now, let me read. I just want to read two paragraphs for our listening audience. And Elder Anderson, Bobby West, you can comment on it. It says, the Conscientious Council of Black Elders, CCBE, is a network of progressive, multi-talented, resourceful, conscientious black men and women who value the concept of self-determination. As an independent community-based organization and advocacy group out of Lafayette, Louisiana, we are committed to advising, counseling, producing, researching available resources for the purpose of building, representing, and protecting the collective interests of the black community. Our central focus involves but is not limited to improving the pathway for upward mobility and equity in Black communities. This implies that relentless energies are directed towards the uplifting and the creation of different paradigms to guide and shape politics, economics, corrective education, social values, history, and culture of the Black community by any means deemed necessary. It says, however, there is little opposition to the viewpoint that there are multiple deteriorating factors that appear to be perpetually affects the positive growth of Black communities. These factors include, but are not limited to, police terror and brutality, unemployment and underemployment, miseducation or no education, economic exploitation and oppression, cultural genocide, historical blindness or disconnect, political disenfranchisement, social underdevelopment, and religious misguidance. Any one of the above-mentioned adverse realities or a combination thereof are always cited as a casual ill in the Black community. The disproportionate number of Blacks killing Blacks, the lack of economic productivity, in effect, the group's response and overall destructive acts of self-hatred that are manifest in many other forms are predictable outcomes of a toxic, social engineered environment. Routinely, this same assessment is reached by most thinking individuals. Brother West, Brother Anderson, comment on that mission statement.
Of course. All of you said is you need lawmakers to carry it out. Simple as that. Despite everything you pointed out, for it to be activated, you need to select a lawmaker, a candidate, to agree with it and be elected and carry it out.
You know, and this is important to me. Brother Tikuna has been in the trenches a long time, and he's been fighting for us for a long time. Brother was a educator and left education in order to step out in the trenches on the battle line to fight this monster face to face. Now, I know there is not a lot of Black folks in America that want to wage a revolution. Okay, that's fine. But if you want to become a part of this system, then you have to be willing to become a part, a working part of this system, as opposed to the victim of this system. And that's what I can't understand. People, Black people, have become comfortable with being the victim of this oppression, when the truth of the matter is, if they would stand up and unite with themselves, they could control this system in this country. You know, I look at our brothers and sisters in Africa, and the same oppression in Africa is what we're experiencing here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only difference is they are at open war in Africa. Here, we don't think we're at open war, but we're killing each other daily. in numbers that are unbelievable. And at some point, the good Negroes in this country need to determine and decide that if one of us fail, we all fail. If one of us can make it, we all can make it. And I'm not talking about making it as the determination and the criteria of what white folks dictate to us as being able to make it. I'm talking about establishing our own criteria by which it is to not only be able to make it, but to thrive and not just survive.
You know, it's something that I really like to get from you two gentlemen, just because of your age and your wisdom and understanding around this. Because what I hear, I'm totally in agreement with the whole plan, movement, and process and utilization of the electoral system for that. But one thought comes to mind, and for both of you. What is the difference between this generation, as you see it, and say, Elder Washington, the generation of young people that we came into the NAACP? Because at that point, NAACP may have still had it, but it was a functioning, liberating body to some degree. And I'm assuming that it's a generation. What's the difference?
The NAACP got known during the time of segregated laws. So mm-hmm. that was, they had permission to fight that fight.
You say permission to fight. That's an important point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't have permission to do anything now. That's why we had the fight. With something that's good for all of us. Why should you wait for the campaign supporters, the ones that they select and put on the ballot for us to do second-handed voting selection? It's right there before our eyes.
And if I may, and this, you know, in the clip that you played, Elliot, besides, you know, the setup, but I noticed that Candace Owens always is pushing that government, you know, is the oppressor and using the Democratic Party. But what I hear, if I'm not mistaken, what I hear you saying, Bible and Elder Washington, that we do need to be engaged in the electoral process. It's just that we need to do the selecting instead of have other people select. So are we supposed to utilize government for our own best interest, if nothing else, as an organizing tool?
Well, let me say this for me. I was drafted into the NAACP and to help them. I have been a revolutionary for a long time, and for a long time, I was an advocate of eliminating the electoral process. I got brought into the electoral process after years of being outside of it through a black party that had started several years ago. So my views are probably a little different than most. I mean, personally, I would like to see the total elimination of the electoral process because I don't really see where it's going to benefit us. It gives us something to busy ourselves with as opposed to being conscious and focused in on revolution. I believe that by any means necessary, and that includes the electoral process, by the way, that we should be active in revolution. My willingness to participate in the electoral process and with the NAACP is because I find a need to try to save our good brothers and sisters that have no idea of who they are and where they came from. But until we as a people are able to understand and identify who we are, then we're always going to be lost. And believe me, even some of our revolutionaries aren't really sure who we are and where we've come from. And that is unfortunate. And I'm trying to do everything I can to resolve that, because we all need to be on the same page at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Part of the answer to your statement was too many of us are waiting for another Dr. King. We're too lazy to do the work ourselves, or pray, whatever the case may be.
Amen.
Yeah, Elliot, that goes back to this, what I hear, you know, and what the two gentlemen said is the notion of sovereign thinking and self-governance. At the same time, and I definitely, I'm going to say, love what you said, Elder Washington, about, you know, being allowed, because it seems that that's what we're, you know, we were allowed, but not now. You know, it's when we look at it from a generational perspective.
Not following you there.
You're saying earlier you were allowed to fight for civil rights because at that point in time, you know, say 50s and whatever. But now we're not being,
it's hitting the core of the movement. Is shaking up everything. It's turning everything upside down.
And you have to do that on your own.
Yeah, that's a no-no for them. I say to them, we're talking about the ones who control the lawmakers now, currently.
Bob West, you mentioned...
And don't forget, people afraid of cause. Votes determine winners, not the amount of money spent.
Bob West, you made a comment a minute ago when just talking with Brother Richard about your opinions about the political process until it kind of changed, and you've seen where it could be used as a tool. Let me revisit that again, because I want you to kind of go into that a little bit more. You see, a lot of our people want to join the political process, but they want to approach it the same way Europeans approach it. And I don't think that works for our people. I think that we have to use this process to meet our people's needs as the best we can. Because if we approach it the way this system approach it, this system has always wanted to destroy black life, destroy black families, destroy black men. It was basically in the destruction business of not only black folks, other people. So I think that we have to use these tools the best we can for our communities until either the system falls that we're under, because I don't believe everything is going to change, and some people believe this system is going to last forever, and I don't. But I think we need to utilize some type of electoral process or leadership process in our communities to move our communities forward.
It doesn't appear that I'm making myself clear enough.
Go ahead.
Thing over and over. Forget about all those organizations, Republic, whatever. Completely forget about them.
I'm not talking about, because I'm not concerned about them either.
What are you referring to then?
Well, it was a comment that Bobby West made. Did you kind of follow what I was saying, Bobby West?
Yeah, I did. I really did. And what it is that, is, you know, I mean, as a people, we really go into things and we're really not understanding what it is we're going into.
Okay.
Most of us just don't do the work to find out. But the electoral process is a tool and an arm of oppression, of the oppressor.
Yes.
You know, democracy, as they claim it's supposed to be, is not, has not, and I don't think it ever will be functional in the way they try to sell it to the masses of people. Because this past election, presidential election, everyone was up in arms and upset about Trump being elected by the Electoral College. But nobody has done anything about the Electoral College.
Because it's working just the way they want it to work. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I thought that Hillary and other Democrats were going to organize to change the electoral process to the out-and-out popular vote, period. Do away with the Electoral College. Because that's what they threatened to do when she lost. But I have not heard and I have not seen any direction, any kind of energies being expounded on the fact that they need to do away with the Electoral College, because the Electoral College was put in place by men, and the Electoral College cannot and will not be removed by the suggestion of a woman, and that woman was Hillary Clinton. You know, we accept defeat before we even go into battle. And that's exactly what happened with that movement, supposedly, to get rid of the Electoral College. I mean, people should have been in the street fighting, rioting to get rid of the Electoral College. But did they? Of course not. They went and sucked their thumb in the corner until they were able to come back out and say, well, okay, we're willing to play again. And that is unfortunate, because this same scenario is going to happen again. Maybe not in the next 5 years or 10 years, but it's going to happen again, where the Electoral College is going to undo the popular vote, period.
And one thing that I agree with, we do see that there, and it's primarily coming out of the Republican wing, or the conservatives of the conservative, probably money class, but I don't even think it's the money class. So I'll just say the political conservative class that are pushing for the Constitution to be open. And I don't think that they'll too much deal with the Electoral College, but they are dealing with the whole, I mean, even now with the Supreme Court, they're dealing with the whole thing of birthright citizenship, 14th Amendment. I mean, these are things that are coming back up that directly affect us. One thing that I like the select to elect, movement process, because it does say, as you gentlemen said, like, forget the parties, that we must organize and identify leadership and our policies and platforms on our own terms, regardless. And I think that that's, you know, ultimately where we're at. But the question is, what do this generation of people and the next generation of people really understand, to understand that is the best move, that we have to do that on our own, whether it's you're a part of a NAACP organizational network, or or you're part of the electoral process, in spite of them, we still have to be able to do that. And how do we motivate ourselves to do that? And what I hear y'all saying is, one, that we may not be aware or informed enough. We may be frightened, or we're not giving, or somebody has to, we're waiting for some messiah to direct us to that end. And that is just not the way it works. For real, people have to take their own power in their own hands and do the work. And it's just, that's what we have to figure out. How do we motivate us to do the work of self-governance? That's what it seems to boil down to me. And that's why what you're proposing makes sense from that vantage point. But if those whites, those political whites, open that constitution, and we're talking about right now to what we're under now, ain't no telling what we'll be under after they open it. And they're close to, by the number of states that they need in order to open the constitution, they're close to doing that, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I don't think that there'll be a constitutional convention personally, mm-hmm. because the whites are afraid that they will not be able to put the country back into the same category that the Revolutionary Fathers were able to do. I mean, we have now a class, the underclass of people have more working knowledge about things than they did back in those days. So I would at least look at those of us that understand and know what the Constitution is about and how it has not worked in the past to be not only deal with the electoral college, but to do the whole entire Constitution over again.
Mm.
Because the Constitution is not for the people or by the people. The Constitution initially was by those who had money.
Mm-hmm.
The land barons are the ones that were able to put the Constitution together, and it favors them then, and it continues to favor them today. But there's too many employees doing the bidding of their employers, so everything will stay the same. And until we as individuals learn how to think for ourselves, it's going to stay the same. Now, we're not identifying how and why things are staying the same. You mentioned about the generations. The way I look upon it is that this new generation that's coming in to maturity feel like those of us in my generation and above somehow dropped the ball and wasn't concerned about them. And in some cases, it's true. But that doesn't mean that they should lose all sense of priority and join the enemy in becoming as elusive as possible mentally and not worrying about anything so that they can maintain the same power structure that has put us all behind the cue ball.
Absolutely.
And that is our problem. The generations that have preceded us, the generations that are to come, are not coming together, comparing notes, admitting to our shortcomings, and passing
the gauntlet on to the youth with instructions how to use it. That is, I think, our biggest problem.
Mama West, Elder Anderson, Elder Washington, I want to thank you men for being with us this evening, giving us a little glimpse of what's going on down in New Orleans in relation to the NAACP and other issues. Mama West, you know the door is always open to you. Come on and share with us, talk about issues. And, you know, we were actively involved in an organization together. I think those principles still remain, whether it's with that organization or others. But these things are going to come to pass, whether we be involved in them or not. Hopefully we stay involved in them. But I believe that vision that you had and some of the other men had for the organization is still going to come to pass.
At this point, with the NAACP, I'm just trying to force them to do what the Constitution directs them to do. Just trying to force them to do it. It's not easy.
Well, we're glad you're around, because I hope I can be around this kid at that point to be able to say I'm still trying to force and organize and making it happen. I'm really respectful of the time that you have given and the age that you are. I think that that's something, if nothing else, for all of us to look forward to.
Thank you. I would say so, my brother. I'm going to tell you, I've learned a lot from him.
Anytime.
All right. Thank you for being with us, both of you, man.
Thank you for having us, brothers, and I look forward to talking to the two of you very soon.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me mention this. The students over at Dillard University, with the NAACP student chapter, whatever they call it, they're consigned with this movement, and they're going home to their parents to spread the word.
That's good.
I'm giving them all the details step by step, and maybe if you get around students and to get to the parish, that might be a way to spread the word across the country.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Peace.
Peace now.
Richard, interesting conversation with Bobby West and Mr. Washington. You know, for a man that's 99, he sounds pretty active.
Yeah. Well, you heard him say he's still driving. I ain't close to that, and I don't drive. Talk about. Yeah. So let me get as but so the thing that he spoke of, what he, you know, offered, as you said, you know, it sounds like a party formation without being a party, but it definitely sounds like a process that we, you know, we should use. So it's, you know, so political, social, you know, or organization, organizing, you know, for those who still, because it's just about self-governance, you know, selecting your own candidates, defining your own platform and planks and your policy.
Exactly.
I mean, isn't that what we talk about so frequently?
Exactly. And that's what a lot of these independent black parties was talking about. And that's what they have. You know, you just mentioned self-governance, Richard, a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read another paragraph from Bob West's group down there that he's a part of. And it's an interesting group. I want to try to get the president on. I'll talk to Bob West about that. The Conscientious Council of Black Elders down in Louisiana. This is what they state. It says, on the other hand, nation building cultivates unity. It is far better for black people to endure the growing pains of self-governance with all its initial flaws than to be satisfied with being governed by a hypocritical system of integration feeding the breast of white supremacy. Hypocritical systems of white supremacy thrives on the interests of racist individuals that occasionally use out tokens of expressions of humanity when it's economically and politically expedient to secure the interests of those who subscribe to white supremacy. Some modern day blacks think black people should be quick to argue that all white people are not racist. Even if that is so, what is also true is that most white people directly or indirectly have been benefactors of white supremacy and its system. I don't see too many of them volunteering to give up their privileged positions to do the right thing. So what they state in their mission statement about nation building cultivates unity, and it's far better for black people to endure the growing pains of self-governance and its initial flaws than to be satisfied with being governed by a hypocritical system feeding the breast of white supremacy. They're absolutely right. It's going to be growing pains in what these men propose, whether it's the Umoja Party, whether it's the African People's Party, whether it's the Black Is Back Coalition, all those independent black parties. It's going to be growing pains, but it's better than what we're dealing with now. It's better than our people going into these Democratic and Republican parties with planks and platforms that the majority of us don't know anything about, and if they read them, they wouldn't agree with 50% or over 75% of it. And the 25% they do agree with is not true because they don't enact these things. Equality for all. I mean, I read some of their planks and platforms over this program here, and even the ones that sound good, they don't believe them themselves. It's better for us to develop things and move as a group on our own. It's kind of funny that the elder mentioned, Richard, that he thinks that our people is waiting on trying to wait on another Martin Luther King.
For me, it was that part about being, you know, it was okay to fight for, it was the nod to go ahead and fight, where now it's not. And the people who are these guys are, that's basically stealing from the membership and being legally supported, I mean illegally supported.
Well, I mean, they said that they've contacted the national and they do nothing about it or block some of the things that they try to do. But then you see where this, their local down there is bringing in Republicans to speak to them. I mean, you know, the local up here brought in Democrats to talk a bunch of crap to them, Donna Brazil and all, to tell them some fairy tale fables. But they bringing in somebody. I mean, what the? That's why I kind of rhetorically asked that question. What's going on down there?
Yeah. And on the other side of it, where the, I mean, they're taking the complaint to with the evidence to the attorney general, the state attorney general, to show that, and that's you know how integrated this is. I mean, you do something. I mean, look, the state attorney general here is busting these Negroes for $500, $50.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they pulling all stops out for an envelope, for a necklace. And you're able to show that there's impropriety going on, switching up of bank accounts and whatever. So it's just not within the organization, local and that state and national. It's within the governmental judicial system or the police arm of the government system that's also included in this. That shows how interconnected, as he said, you know, that they start pulling on that thread, they unravel not only their connection, but the connection that goes all the way up to the national of $2 million. Didn't I hear $2 million?
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, listen, that's not the first time that money was given out unaccounted for. And listen, they did that during that spy network that they had set up in the South when they had some of our people spying on others, White Citizens Council and other organizations paying them money. They kept records of it. They knew the money that was being doled out to different black folks. None of them went to jail for receiving money. And none of them went to jail for what they'd done, either whites or blacks. So, you know, whatever it was condoned. So evidently, whatever money is being taken, whatever false accounts is being set up, is being condoned by people that's supposed to be higher up.
And that's why the information, you know, as like this evening, is so important for people who are looking at, you know, and promoting people to get engaged in this, because this is information you need to understand before you get involved with these organizations or really what we're up against being involved in general. Because if you're not, then you get people get in and find these things out, they get frustrated and give themselves a reasons to get out, or they because that's easy work. The hard work is to self-organize. That's hard work, to self-organize in an environment where all the other mechanisms are going to try to discredit you in subtle ways. So, I mean, these men are, you know, like they're go, as they said, you know, Bob West said, they went through, I mean, what is that, Article 10, using their own bylaws.
Yeah.
And still
nothing happened.
Taking it to legal arm, you know, of the state, nothing happens. So this, the you know, if people, whether they're young or not, if they're not informed, and that, you know, of the how and why this, how this thing works and why it works the way it does and for whose interest, they, another generation will become frustrated to the point where they're blaming each other.
Yeah, well, the struggle continues, man. That's all. That's all I got to say. We got a couple calls here. I don't know whether they want to make a comment, question, or they were just listening. Let me pull a couple of them up. Let's go to 267. 267, any comment, question you want to make? 267?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, yes, I've been listening to you two brothers for years. I used to listen to y'all when you came on the radio on Word.
Okay,
how
you doing, bro?
I would chop it up with you, and we would talk about different topics. And it was a good show you had tonight. I'm the brother Justice who used to talk to y'all back in the day.
Okay,
and y'all were on Word.
How you doing, brother?
So, yeah, everything is pretty good. Let me unplug all this stuff. So.
You know what? Let me ask you a question, because you're in the Philadelphia area. You heard those men talk about tonight their problems with the NAACP in their area, and they're talking about Louisiana. You got an NAACP branch here in Philadelphia that seems to be quiet on a lot of issues. They just had a awards dinner or whatever it was down there at the Jewish Museum. What do you think about that? Because you don't, now you mentioned the terrestrial station here in Philadelphia. You don't hear that being mentioned on there. They're not talking about it. Give me your opinion on that before, kind of winding things down. Just give me your thoughts.
okay, earlier during the show when the brother was on, you know, when I think of the NAACP, it's almost as if you can compare them to the Jehovah's Witness. And that comparison is people who stand on the side and are very quiet. So the NAACP doesn't go out and boast for anything that people galvanize around and want to see get done under the banner of the NAACP. And I would think that when the leader of the Nation of Islam will become the president of the NAACP Philadelphia branch, I would think that something would change or something would get done in a different kind of a way where you would see them out in the forefront and you would hear about them more.
Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't happened.
Okay.
And I've asked other brothers about, I asked brothers who didn't live in Philly about what they thought of a leader of the Nation of Islam of a particular city becoming the president of the NAACP. And their opinions, most of them said that it seemed like an oxymoron.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, me knowing of the brother who is the brother minister from the Nation of Islam who became the president, I think he's extra silent for reasons that go with supporting that sugar tax and he getting paid off to not say anything about the sugar tax, which would be hurting the community, hurting the poor people. People are already impoverished. And the beverages becoming more expensive for those type of people who can't afford a beverage that is out of their budget. And he got some payoff of $25,000 or so. And that was kind of like some hush money. So the NAACP throughout my lifetime has never been in the forefront to shine in a way that, well, I won't say never, because there was times when I was a very young man that I remember the NAACP standing up for our civil rights in different occasions, in different ways, and, you know, attempting to do things in favor of black people. But that kind of fell by the wayside.
You're talking about under Cecil Moore or something like that?
Right, back in the, you know, in times when people had the leadership
and okay.
who had the notion to do what they could for black people at that position.
Okay.
So, you know. So from what was going on with the NAACP now, as it's the same as it's been going on for years and years and years. It's like they don't stand for anything that everyone else feels that they should be standing for, and then they would award people who don't deserve awards. And so they're out of tune and off balance and out of key, off key, and it would be hard to want to say you would want to line up with some quiet people who don't say anything, some advocates who don't advocate, people who aren't really, you know, standing up to do what they used to do back in the day, even when they wanted to go and they were highly responsible for removing that show that was on in the 60s. What was it? They had a lawyer guy, and it was they kind of talked kind of like, you know, coonery. It was a step in fashion, but in that era, The show escapes me right now, the name of it, but okay. I know all of you brothers probably know.
No, unless Richard knows. But go ahead.
No, it was a show that was aired on radio first, and then it became televised later on, but it was white people covering as if they were black people on the radio.
Oh, you're talking about Amos and Andy.
That one. So okay. The NAACP got that taken off the air. Now, that was, you know, disputable because a lot of people thought that that show wasn't so bad. But they stood up and said that that was making black people look bad and making our image look terrible, and that they didn't want to see those type of shows. And that there were people who supported the NAACP on that effort, and then there were people who didn't think that they were, that that was like majoring in the minors, I guess, in a sense, back in, at that time. Like, there were bigger issues they could have been fighting, but at the time, it seemed like a big issue because of our image that we wanted to protect it and stop being seen on the television as people who seem to be, underachievers or something like that.
Hey, Brother Justice, hey, man, thanks for your call, man, and don't be a stranger.
I won't, man. You know, I found y'all guys. I was on TuneIn, and I was searching in, and I seen Black Talk Radio. I was like, let me check it out. And then I seen Time for Awakening. I was wondering if that was y'all. And then I was like, oh, wow, that's them. That's the brothers. That's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard.
Okay.
So I decided I would tune in. This was a few days ago when I found it. And I decided I would remember and tune in today and see if I could talk to you. But I waited and listened to the entire program. It was a good show. It was kind of, you know, kind of low energy, but maybe, you know, you could think about that in the future, like you could liven it up a little bit when people come on with low energy.
Oh, don't worry. We'll tune in next week.
All right, right on.
Peace.
Peace, peace.
Let's go to, in a few more minutes, a few minutes we have left, let's go to Newport News. Newport News?
What's up, comrades? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, okay, I'm going to try to keep it short. A shout out to the young brother that just talked to you. He said it was low energy. Sometimes you need that. You got to understand you're talking to some elders, and they kind of focus on trying to get the point across. So you can't always be entertained when you're getting an education. What I will say is they touched on something that I've been talking about. I was wondering whether or not y'all been all up in my mentions and
here you COINTEL.
I'm why? I've been okay. Talking about that they touched on with my generation, and they kind of hit it nicely a couple times because I had to step away and handle some other business too. But they hit on it. Part of maturity and wisdom and knowledge is understanding what you got wrong. Too many people in my generation don't want to admit where they went wrong. And I kind of conceptualized this on the idea. I really can remember watching the transition from us as black people working in a collective, even though we had our disagreements. I'm not saying it was kumbaya.
Yes.
But there was an idea of a collective. Once the mentality changed over to individualism, yes, everything changed. For instance, when you look at Oprah Winfrey, and she's up there preaching about, do this, have your mental game together, don't let people steal your peace, this kind of stuff. I did this. Oprah got a job because of what? The deaths and problems that sanitation workers and all of them went through, and the stations were being pressured by government to get black people in there. Mm-hmm. So they picked her because she wasn't offensive to white women. They didn't have to worry about whether or not their husband was oogling over her. If they put a Jane Kennedy up there, it'd have been a different story. Jane Kennedy had the ability to do what Oprah did. All she did was hold a mic and hold a conversation. But if you'd have put a Jane Kennedy up there, you wouldn't have made it. So what'd they give you? They gave you somebody that wasn't offensive to white America, what I call appeasement. But you hear her talk about what she gained. You didn't get it on your own if you're successful in America. You were selected to do what? Hold the others back. And too many of our generations do it. I ran into a situation coming back from that conference at ADOS. Some people asked me about going to a function. First I said no, then they kept telling me, no, you need to go. I went to that function and literally had people talking about me and what I do on social media with me standing in the room. So I knew that they were talking what they knew because they would have looked at me and said, that's that Negro. They never did it. I was at that function over 2 hours. So what's that tell you? They're taking orders from somebody above, just like the gentleman that was telling you about Louisiana. I've said it for years because I've been fortunate enough to work around some pretty high-up black people from Dallas to Tucson to right back here in Virginia. And I'm talking about people in politics, some of them in lawyers, some of them even became mayors of this city, like Ron Kirk and another one, Dwayne Carraway. But I listen to those people talking when I'm just a gray-headed guy in their house performing work, and I found out what they thought of other black people. They really think they're a part of it based on some kind of material success. So they're not trying to be inclusive and create a space for you. Like when he talked about Cancer Alley and how to get money, people get mad at me because I brought those issues up about the Urban League, about NAN, about the NAACP. And I've said it to some people that are actually in those organizations. Did you hear what the man was telling you? A lawyer that is already part of the grift going to represent the person that got the tort and got the action against them, make him believe that he's acting ethical, and he gets paid and you might not get a dime. What's that tell you? That's that thing that you put out all the time. Now, that's Eurocentric as it gets, brother. I want to get like my man Cornel West to tell you, but that's about as European as you can get. To literally take the wealth out of a man's pocket and smile in his face and tell him you're representing him for his freedoms and his civil rights. That is a man that you got to do like Cynthia McKinney said. Call him out at all costs, let the chips fall where they may. All that stuff about don't get on people in public, get on them if you got the truth under your wing and hold them accountable. Much power to you. I love what y'all are doing.
Have a good evening now.
Take care now.
Let's grab one more, Richard. Let's go to 215. 215?
Oh, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, I love y'all, brothers. How y'all doing tonight, man?
Good.
All praise be to Allah. You know, Mr. Robert West on it. What's the other gentleman who was 99 years old? What was his name, Elliot and Richard?
Andy Washington.
Yeah. Anderson Washington. Yes.
May Allah be pleased. What a beautiful brother. Oh, he's an inspiration to me, man. You know, I'm going to say this real quick, and it was good to hear from Brother Justice and stuff. Just spread the word for Time for an Awakening. Spread the word, Brother Justice. You listening now, spread the word. Get everybody involved. Talk to all your friends and family. It was good to hear from Brother Otis. I haven't heard Brother Otis in a while. I know he stays in the chat room with y'all guys, but it's good to hear him on the air again. You know, Elliot, on the, you know, this thing that come on Channel 6 on here in Philadelphia, the Inside Story, they was talking about the Michael White case. And on Michael Kors' Terrestrial Radio Show, a brother's called in, he said, brother, I get so sick and tired about people when they get on these shows, Elliot and Richie. He said, white folks have no problem expressing their racism. Now, you had a white man and white woman there saying that, you know, it was injustice, that Michael White got away with murder and artists, and saying that the black people made it into a racial issue.
Not well, wait a minute. That white people, you talking about on that Issues and Answers show?
I think that was it, yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, the brother said that the blacks they had on the show, they were scared to correct them. They select these Negroes who they know is not going to fight against white supremacy. For example, Brother Greg Brinkley called up, and he told Michael Cordy, he had called the station about the show a few years ago. He said, why don't you have blacks on the show that's got some backbone? And the white producer told him, he said, well, we don't like, he said, we like to have certain blacks on there that's going to be kind of, you know, kind of fit the form. You know what I mean? So basically he was saying, in other words, we like to hear the house Negroes on there that's not going to challenge white supremacy. That's basically what they were saying. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just amazing and stuff, man. They get these scary Negroes on there that don't have no heart to speak the truth and stuff, man. And Elliot, the brother made another excellent point. You got Martina White. And Elliot, just go back to what you always say about our black politics, how they fell, whether it's locally, nationally, or statewide. You got Martina, who's a racist state rep that represents the Northeast. She was endorsed by McNesby. She's been a state rep for the last 5-6 years, whatever. She's pro-cop. She make no bones about it. So what Brother Greg Blinken was saying, why none of our black politicians that can get in there and fight for us like that? He said, this white woman has no bones about how she's racist and she stand up for the police no matter what they do to black people. But you can't get none of them Negroes on city council or on the state level to be pro-black like that, even though they was elected by black people. You know what I mean? And you can go all the way back, Brother Elliot and Richard, to Joan Kaczynski, all these other white working class white folks that they elected these people, and yet they have no problem standing up for white people. That's why, like I said, that's why Northern Liberties is what it is now. But you can't get none of these Negroes to do nothing for their people, but these white folks have no problem. They have no problem standing up for their people and stuff, man. You know, you just get so tired of the cowardness with these Negroes, man. They don't stand up for their people. They don't do nothing. All they do, all they are good for is a paycheck and stuff, man. You know, and I know y'all short on time on the NAACP. I'm so glad you had Baba West on and Mr. Washington, because as I shared with you before, Brother Elliot, and to the and Brother Richard, and for the Time for Working listening audience, that's why I could never be a full-time member of that organization. And I love Dick Gregory, because Dick Gregory told me one time at Zion Baptist Church, he said, "Brother, join the NAACP." I said, "Brother Dick, I love you, brother. You're one of my heroes, Baba, Brother Dick Gregory, but I can't support them, Hank. I can't be a member." He said, "Brother, why?" I said, "I just can't." I said, "I'm not saying they haven't did some good things like Brother Justice said, but no, big picture." I said, two things that I can't never support them. Number one, they got that Joe Springham Award, that old racist bigot, Joe Springham, who's a Jew,
Spied on black people.
What's that, Elliot?
Spingard.
Yeah, Spingard, whatever his name is. Mm. I see spied on black people, they're all that rotten stuff. I said, I can't support that. Number two, I says that I can't support an organization that don't have no heart to stand up for their people. Like I said, like you said, Elliot, they very quiet on so many issues and stuff like that. Like you said, that was an insult. Here, Brother Richard, it works at our black museum here in Philadelphia, and you mean to tell me you couldn't have that NAACP thing with Donna Brazile and them? You couldn't have had that thing here with Brother Richard work at the Black Museum? They can use all the funding they can get. You mean to tell me you couldn't have had it there? You had to have it at the Jewish Museum. And I noticed, Ellen Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see no Jewish functions in Philadelphia since they have, and I know Jewish people have stuff in this, all over this city, had to have things all the time. To my knowledge, Richard, you work there. Have Jewish people ever had anything at the African Museum that you know of?
Not that I know of.
You answered my question. So, I mean, to me, that's insulting and stuff like that. You know, that you can have an event like that but like the brother said, like Baba West said, these people are controlled. They are told what to do and stuff. And even I like Minister Rodney on a personal note, that has nothing to do with it. He's controlled too. He, you know, he's a member of the Nation of Islam, and like Brother Justice said, it's like an oxymoron because you expect him to do more, but if he, I guess he knows if he step out too much, they'll slap him down and stuff like that. And I'm saying to myself, well, if you can't be effective as the head of the local NAACP, if all you're going to be is a figurehead, then why even have that post? I mean, that's just one of the things I'd be critical of Minister Rodney. If you can't be effective and stand up for your people and stuff like that, what's the point? All you're doing is just window dressing, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you just get tired of the stuff that these people do and stuff, man. I mean, like I said, the African Art Museum with Richard Brooks, that can use Monday, they can use big events like that, and you're going to have it at that place? I mean, to me, it makes no sense. Like you said, Ellie, you could had at the 3801 Marcus, all these black venues you could have had this thing at, but you have it there, you know? I mean, and look at the people they honored. Marion Tasker, I close with this, Alex, I'm the university. Marion Tasker was a disgrace. Here this woman, she was a council person and stuff representing Mount Airy and other places. She did all she could to make sure she got rid of all those black vendors as much as she could. Not only, she her reach stretched it beyond Mount Airy and Germantown. This niggas did all she could to make sure that black Venice was taken off of 52nd and Market. She did a lot of dirt to black people and stuff, and yet they had to give her an award. And we're thinking, I'm not surprised, and Sherelle Parker got an award. The same Sherelle Parker was up there standing next to Kenny when he won the primary back here.
Wait a minute. I mean, she got an award there?
Yes, yeah, Sherelle Parker got an award, as well as Marin Tasker. Yes,
you
indeed.
You
got
to be kidding. You
I
know
wish
that.
I was, Elliot. Oh, well. And see, again, see, Elliot, that's the awards they're getting for being traitors. See, the white man loved to award these Negroes for being traitors. And it's no accident, Brother Elliot, that when Kenny won the primary, what the first thing he said about Sherelle Parker. He said, well, she'll be a great mayor one day, and she all henning and grinning like that. See, the white man, they clip y'all play with the sister. They know which Negroes to pick out. You know, they know which Negroes going to be their Negroes. That's why, like the sister said, Uncle Tom is Uncle Tom, whether he's in the White House or whether he's anywhere in the State House, he's still a Tom. And that's why the Honorable Marcus Masai Garvey said, I want to take all black folks to Africa. He said, they know damn good here, and they won't be no good over there. I mean, they know which ones to pick and stuff, man. I mean, man, Tesco, you talk to anybody that's in the black business community, she did a terrible job in them black business. She's a disgrace, man. And yet you honor somebody like that, man. And Sherelle Parker, with her disgraceful actions and stuff over the years, not to mention drunk and driving being one of them, you know? Again, I'm not trying to be, you know, saying people can't make mistakes and stuff like that, but I'm saying to myself, you know, you need to dig yourself and stuff for some of the stuff you have did and stuff. Like I said, running around with your head up Kenny's behind, when he had this man and went back on his word of stopping Frisk, you know, with the soda tax, all these things that he said he wasn't going to do, then he done did it anyway. You running around here hanging up around these, man, see these Negroes, man, that's why nothing can get done. That's why schools closed. That's why they're getting ready to bum rush Ben Franklin and the Franklin Learning Center. These white Jewish developers, they're going to have that in the next year or two, if not sooner, because these Negroes are complicit in the destruction of their own people, man. It's a shame, man. But yet we keep on giving these Negroes awards. We keep on praising them. I mean, these Negroes should be ran out of town on the rail, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. They're a disgrace, man, the stuff that they do, Elliot. And I go with that, man, because I know y'all brothers trying to, you know, get ready to cut it. I just want to thank y'all for the time. And again, Ellen and Richard, thanks for having Baba West on and Mr. Washington. I really enjoyed talking to them, brother. They gave us this perspective about the NAACP, which I already felt and already knew. They just put it out there on the radio where everybody else could hear it, you know. So, you know.
Thank you for your call, man.
Thanks, Elliot. Thanks, Richard.
I know.
Oh, well, he's gone. I wanted to ask him whether he went over there, but I'll talk to Jihad. Maybe he can come on Friday and give us a little update on what happened.
Okay.
I think it'll be a good conversation. Before we go tonight, I want to give the lineup on Time for an Awakening, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. Always interesting dialogue and African Perspectives. And that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3, Black People's Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. From 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. If you catch his show tomorrow from 6 to 8, I know he'll give a recap on what happened at Orton Reed Junior High School, Orton Reed High School, and plus other interesting topics on Acres of Diamonds. From 9 to 10 in Cobra. Program. It's on, I think it, this is the week. It was a schedule change. It was supposed to be on every Monday, but now they're back to the first and third. So this is the week for Operation Reparations, then COVID's program, and then from 10 to 12, Warren Valentine's Night Talk podcast that you can catch on Time for an Awakening Media. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 to 8 on Time for an Awakening Media. And Time for an Awakening is back on Friday from 8 to 10. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on his path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children.
little Tommy, he said he wants to be a fireman. And little Mary, she said she got to teach school.
To save the children.